The Braves dropped Game 2 to the White Sox in a pitcher's duel. Ronaldo Lopez shows that he has everything that it takes to be the fifth starter, but the bats went cold in chilly Chicago. We'll talk about that and more on the Braves Report from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. This is the Braves Report presented by Kroger, the podcast that takes you inside the clubhouse and gives you the stories behind the score. I'm Barrett Salee, hanging out in the heart of Braves country. And Braves country, little disappointing in Game 2. But I'm an optimist. I love when the Braves show promise, and Ronaldo Lopez showed promise. That was a fantastic performance. I would say the best performance of the year from a Braves starting pitcher, going six, giving up four hits. Yeah, he gave up the one earned run. It was in no man's land. There's nothing you can do about it but tip your hat and say, hey, you know what? You beat me. That was a perfect pitch. Inside slider. There was no chance that he could have thrown a better pitch. Sometimes you lose. He lost in that one. Obviously, they couldn't hold on. Another cheapie sandwiched around a Paul DeJong home run. But Braves fans, let's not overreact to this. Yeah, the bats went a little cold, but that's going to happen. It was horrible weather. It was a horrible situation. There's nothing enjoyable about playing in the cold. And we will talk about how ridiculous it is to play in cold weather moving forward. That will be later in this show. But Lopez didn't seem to, it didn't bother him at all. So of all of the things that happened, yeah, that was the biggest storyline. And you know what? If two of the three runs come on bloopers into no man's land, it's just not your night. It's just not your night. And that's okay. You erase it, you move on to the next day, and we'll see if the weather cooperates. But I think this is a game where you just kind of throw it away. You throw it away. It's fine. No, there was not a lot to talk about. I think the bottom of the eighth was, I kind of felt the deflating feeling like, all right, this is just not going to happen tonight. Austin Riley up with the bases loaded, one out, rolls into the double play, the 5-3 double play. It was a hard hit ball. I don't have the number in terms of exit velo in front of me, but it was a hard hit ball. Two walks in front of him, those were big league at-bats. But you just chalk it up. You just chalk it up to a bad night, an unlucky night, a night where at the plate you went cold, except for the big bear, Marcell Ozuna. Now, I have talked on this show. We've done this show for a week now with me solo. And what have I said consistently? You have to find a guy that can bridge the gap. You have to find a guy that can roll the lineup over. And you have to have a guy who can come up in big situations. And Marcell Ozuna did just that. Two home runs. The first one, he got it up in that jet stream. It got out of the park. And then the second one was an absolute bomb. In games like that, you have to know that there's somebody who can come up with the spotlight on him. There's somebody you can rely on. And it's not going to be the same guy every night. It was Austin Riley in Monday's game. It was Ozuna in this game. And he's gotten off to a hot start, which after what happened last year, that's an enormous sign. Because we've all seen Ozuna carry the Braves. He did it during the COVID year for about a month of the 2 months that of that season. He did it last year in what, May and a little bit of June after going 1-for-51 or whatever it was in the month of April. He's hot now. He's hot now. And if he can carry that forward, it'll bridge the gap. Ronnie doesn't have a home run yet. Think about what would happen when Ronnie gets hot. You might not necessarily need Ozuna to be hot, but it would be one of those things where, yeah, you're scoring double digits every single game. So an unfortunate game and an unfortunate result on Tuesday night in Chicago. Braves fall 4-2 on the season. White Sox pick up their first win. But you know what? Ronaldo Lopez, tip your hat to that dude. He proved that he can not only be a reliable fifth starter, but that he might be one of the best fifth starters in the league. And if that continues, then this might be the best Braves team of all time. And I don't even know if that's hyperbole. If that's the kind of result we're going to get from our fifth starter, and it's not going to be six innings, one earned run every single time, I get it, but look out. The sky is the limit. You could be talking about the best Braves team of all time. So, unfortunate on Tuesday night, but still a lot to be happy with over the first week of the season. No, the sky is not falling. It's actually really high up there. And we saw just what this team is capable of and what a complete game from both sides looks like on Monday. So let's talk a little bit about what happened during that rainy, rainy day in Chicago. It only took 8 innings. We didn't need 9. We just 8 innings is fine. Let's just go home. There's no need to really worry about anything else. And we knew what was in hand. 9-0, the Braves in game one on Monday afternoon. And I think what all of us wanted to see, I think one thing that we all sort of were curious about, what does Charlie Morton look like? In his first start, I tell you, this is exactly what we wanted to see from the 40-year-old. 5 2/3, 3 hits, no earned runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. Yeah, he got a little sketchy there from time to time, but what does Morton do? He does not panic. He wiggles off the hook almost every single time he gets put on that hook. And in cold weather, in his first start, that is exactly what you want to see. Quality start from the veterans. And here is Charlie Morton on his performance Monday against the White Sox.
I thought my four-seamer was playing up, and changeup was good. Travis called a great game, mixed up real well. That was fun because we used all the tools today, and that was anytime you can do that, it's pretty fun.
And I urge you to go to AJC and read Justin Toscano's piece on Morton's performance. Now, there are other things included in the story, essentially a game wrap, but for Charlie Morton to take control of this, I mean, he's the leader of this team. We don't want to recognize it, but Charlie Morton sets the tone. Whether he's vocal or not, he's the one who sets the tone. And for him to go out in a fourth starter spot, which is not something that he's accustomed to being in, and say, all right, I'm going to own this. I'm going to own a lesser team. I'm going to own a team that shouldn't have a chance against us. That is, it's nice to see. I love his curveball. He pitches with his curveball. That's his go-to pitch. And then he kind of works off of that. And it was working fine in the cold weather of Chicago. And you know what? That is what you need. Some pitchers, some players, and Ronald Acuna was kind of like this, want to get out of there. They put on all their clothes. They want to get out of there. They want nothing to do with that. But Charlie was cool with it. Charlie was cool with it. Why? Because he's been there before. Because he's been through all of this. Because he understands what it takes to win at this level. And what it takes to win at this level is being unflappable. No matter what, whether it be bases loaded, nobody out, whether it be a cold weather game, whether it be, you know, pitching in and out of problems early, whether it be a rain delay and having to come back out after a couple innings, Charlie has seen it all. And for a guy who's 40, he is making his manager, Brian Snitker, realize just how good he can be.
So every time he pitches, it's impressive to me. Just the whole body of work and you know, we said it all last year. You know, we were talking about that, how the ball's still coming out of his hand as his age and the innings. And it's just a testament, I think, to Charlie's dedication to the game and taking care of himself and the work ethic and everything. He's pretty good.
It's almost impossible to have predicted what was going to happen to start this season. The bats come out firing, Braves averaging 9 runs per game in their wins. I think it's 8.2 overall when you count in that Sunday game. But for the first couple of games, yeah, Arcia was going nuts and Olsen was hitting double after double after double and Ozzie's hitting bombs and all that stuff. But for the first couple of games, it's like, okay, what's wrong with Austin Riley? Like, where's Austin Riley? Well, you know, last couple of games, he's picked it up just fine. Monday, an absolutely phenomenal performance. 2-for-4, the bomb, 4 RBIs, that home run coming after the first rain delay and more or less put the game out of reach. It was kind of out of reach anyway, but it basically sealed the deal. They said, you know what, let's not play the ninth inning. Rain's coming, we're done. But that was a, what, hour-long rain delay the first go-round? And here's Austin on trying to stay warm during that prolonged rain delay, the first one of two in Chicago.
No, I think, you try to stay mentally locked in knowing that, you know, there's a good chance that you're going to go back out there and do everything you can to be prepared. Like I said, try to stay locked in as possible.
One last thing on, well, two last, but one thing on the game itself and the season itself. Remember when the season ended last year and Orlando Arcia was the butt of all jokes and, you know, attaboy Harper and all this other stuff, right? I think Orlando Arcia could have used that in two ways. One, kind of dwelled on it for a little while, sulked, maybe put too much blame on himself. Or he could have used it as motivation. Could have used it as fuel, like you can get at Kroger. And that's exactly what he's done. 438, 4 doubles in the first 4 games of the year. The dude's batting 438. And he saw the Phillies' number one and number two pitchers. Two of the best pitchers in the league. That is unreal. If you have to deal with the number 8 hitter doing what Orlando Arcia does and has done this year, folks, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's the best lineup in Braves history and maybe National League history. We're not going to worry about those Yankees teams from the late 90s, early 2000s. Let's just throw them out. But if you're getting that kind of production from your number 8 hitter, this is unstoppable. Sure, Austin Riley could have a couple down games like he did the first 2 games of the year. Doesn't matter. Ronald could have a couple strikeouts, a couple games where he has 3 strikeouts. Doesn't matter. Don't care. It got me thinking. What player or players are the glue to this team? The glue to this team. And I think it's easy to go say, well, yeah, it's Ronald. Of course. Why wouldn't it be? And I mean, obviously, there's a case that could be made for that. They won a World Series without him for a half season. I'm not saying Ronald's not important. He's the MVP. Yeah, he's probably the one. And the answer that's correct. Shouldn't Orlando Arcia be mentioned in that? Vocal leader, knocking the cover off the ball. And he's one of two players that helps you flip the lineup. He's one of the two most important pieces to get back to Ronald, to allow Ronald to have 5 at-bats per game. And ultimately, that's what you want, right? Ultimately, you want a guy who can kind of round out the lineup, get you from point A to point B. And that's what Arcia does. Oh, and on top of that, who's the other liability? Oh, Jared Kelenic, just batting 545. But Arcia, the start to his season and the impact he's made on this team, I don't think you can heap any more praise. There's not enough praise that you can put on this. And here is Brian Snitker on Orlando Arcia, the person, and Orlando Arcia's start to the season.
I honestly never looked at him as underrated because I remember when he came into the league with the Brewers. I mean, this guy was kind of a talented and heralded prospect and always had a really good skill set. And, you know, and as sometimes it takes guys a little later in their career, start figuring things out. And I think, you know, about maybe the consistency and their work ethic and things like that. Because he's playing really, really well right now.
All right, last thing. We saw it in Philly a little bit. We're getting a lot of it in Chicago. What the heck is Major League Baseball doing? why are we starting series in early April in Chicago, in New York, in Philly, in Boston, Minnesota? What is wrong with Major League Baseball? There are teams in Florida. There are teams in Texas. There are teams in Southern California. There's a team in Arizona. There's a team in Atlanta. Last I checked, those are relatively warm climates in April. Sure, we know being in Atlanta, we could suddenly have a snow day in early April. I remember back in 2007, I believe it was, it was snowing at Turner Field in early April, same week as the Masters. But this is not baseball weather in Chicago. I would say it's not even football weather, because real football weather is 60, sunny, no wind. I don't care what people say. Oh, you're not a man if you think it's you can't play in the snow. No. Baseball weather, to me, is 95 humid, whatever. But it's certainly not 35 and sleet. The Braves shouldn't have to deal with this. The White Sox shouldn't have to deal with this. None of these teams should have to deal with this, because there are ways around it. Now, should every team start in the southern part of the country, or the, you know, below the middle of the country? I mean, it's almost impossible. I get that. And certainly there are exceptions, specifically, you know, a World Series champ. If you want to, you know, have it, let's just say, God forbid, the Mets win the World Series, which we all know is a joke. But yeah, they get to raise the banner like the first series of the season. Why not? But it should be reserved. The beginning of the season should be reserved for southern climates and domes, period. Because otherwise, you're going to get the crap that the Braves got Monday. You're going to get the constant view of the weather report like we're getting Tuesday and Wednesday. You might get sleet and snow on Wednesday, and it's Chicago, and it's windy and just awful weather. And for those of you who have not been in Chicago in the winter or early spring, it might be the coldest place on earth. I've never been to the North Pole. I've never been to Antarctica. I'm pretty sure Chicago could be considered the coldest place on earth at times. It's not necessary. It's not worth it. But yet, what happened on Monday? The Braves dealt with that. Dealt with that with flying colors, including Charlie Morton. And here is Morton on what it's like to deal with those elements in Chicago.
You know, the ball moves a little bit different, spins a little bit less. My breaking ball just wasn't moving like it normally does. And but luckily, you know, I think changeup was there, four seam was there, a little cutter was there. So, yeah, I think just really having the mentality that's not that big of a deal.
I will take a break. We'll take questions coming up on the other side. You've got questions. I've got answers. Well, I mean, I might have some answers. Probably not good ones. Maybe some good ones. We'll see after the break. And hey, we've got a great offer for Braves Report listeners. Listen and listen close, because this is the South's biggest deal. For a limited time, subscribe and you'll get digital access to the AJC for just $1.99 per week for life. As long as you keep your subscription. That's our sports and politics coverage, breaking news, in-depth investigations, food and dining, and more from AJC.com every day for life. You'll also unlock access to our app, exclusive films and events, and newsletters. Subscribe now by going to AJC.com/start. That's AJC.com/start. It's a great deal for a great Atlanta. This is for new subscribers only.
What's so great about being a Kroger Boost member? Free delivery on the Kroger products you love, and more rewards too, like double fuel points on everything you buy. Experience a new level of membership starting as low as $59 a year with Boost by Kroger Plus. Learn more at Kroger.com today.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have a different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
You've got questions, I've got answers, and honestly, I have a microphone. I'm just like everybody else, right? Just like everybody else, I have an opinion. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong, sometimes it's smart. Most of the time, it's dumb, but we're all here to have fun. Sports are supposed to be fun, and if I'm wrong, I fully expect you to call me out on it on X, or you can call the hotline and ask a question, or just have concerns or questions and comments about anything. That hotline, 770-810-5297. 770-810-5297. And let's hit that hotline for our first question of the day.
Hey guys, this question's for Barrett. My name's Todd. I live in Washington, D.C. Calling about the Braves. It's early, but bummer. 13.50 ERA. And looking at the box scores from this weekend, pitcher's not going long. Is that something to be concerned about? Will Snit let him pitch past five innings? Thanks so much. Hope you guys have a great one. Bye.
All right, I always treat the first week and a half of the season almost like an extended spring training for pitchers because they're still getting stretched out. And I would say this, I would counter that question and say five or more innings pitched from Strider, Sale, and Morton, that's a good thing. Let's throw the Freed thing out. That was just a disaster from, you know, every aspect of it. But three of our four starting pitchers have gone for five or more innings this season. To me, that's a good thing. Yeah, Snittle, there have been quick hooks, but I mean, three hits, five hits, three hits. Three from Strider, five from Sale, and three from Morton. I don't think you can ask for anything better. In Morton's case, you want to get him out before things get a little, before his arm gets a little cold. I get it. In Sale's case, you know, it was kind of getting, he was getting a little tired. I get that. And for Strider, it's Strider. You know, you get him out of there quickly, get your bullpen accustomed to what you want to do. And they've been fine with the exception of Bummer. Now, this is, I think, a question, and this is not a criticism of the question, but it's part of the college football syndrome. Because I think Braves fans and college football fans are crossover more than any other sports fans in this area in Braves country. You'll have to get a mind are out of the mindset of, you know, one start, 1 week, four games being a referendum on something. Because in baseball, it's not. First of all, like I said, I'm fine with Strider, Sale, and Morton getting pulled between five and six innings. Both of them pitched into the fifth, or three of them pitched into the fifth. Dylan Lee's been phenomenal. Matzik's been awful, awesome. Like you're getting good production out of your bullpen. There's one concern and one concern alone in the bullpen, and that is Aaron Bummer. Yes, like you mentioned, 13.50 ERA, but why not let him get meaningful time early on, because he is the new guy of this. You know what you're going to get from a healthy Dylan Lee. You know what you're going to get from a healthy Tyler Matzik. You know what you're going to get from a healthy AJ Minter, Pierce Johnson, Jesse Chavez. Go all the way down the line. Those are all known commodities that Brian Snitker knows. They're guys Brian Snitker trusts. And they're guys who are already established as important pieces of the bullpen. I mean, even Pierce Johnson, after coming over last year. Bummer is not part of that, really. Snit's seen him a little bit. But you need to find your role in a bullpen that is full of guys who already have roles. So I wouldn't be too concerned. Could he become one of those guys that's just a mop-up guy? I hope not. I don't think he will be. But, you know, if that's where he ends up, that's where he ends up. But I'm not sold on that. I mean, the dude's pitched two games. Yeah, five hits, Three earned runs, suboptimal. But give him some time, man. Give the dude some time. I think he will be fine. I think when all is said and done, you might be looking at him as maybe one of the lesser contributors of the bullpen early because everybody else already knows their role. Does he weave his way in? Maybe. I mean, it's not like Dylan Lee was a known commodity. The dude started a World Series game in 2021. It's not like Matzik was a superstar. The dude was pitching in the middle of nowhere, finally comes up and becomes a star for the Braves. It's a little rocky at first, and that's okay. That's okay. So I'm fine with it. I am. I think right now, Snit has used his pitchers, I think, very, very well. We can sit here and say hindsight 2020 with Bummer. I get it. I'm not willing to do that yet. I'm not going to fall into college football syndrome. I'm going to give it a couple weeks. And yes, I know that games in April matter just as much as games in September in terms of the standings. But you still have to let the dominoes fall. You still have to let the pieces sort themselves out. And I think that's what this is all about right now. And until we see that he has no defined role, give the dude some time. Let's see how things work out. I think that ultimately he'll find a place. All right. Question from Twitter/X from Brad Hutch. Hutch41 on the X/Twitter machine. Is winning the division even an advantage for the playoffs anymore? Seems like it's gotten the players out of routine for the last couple of years and hurt their production. Yes, 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 1,000 times yes. For a couple reasons. One, we saw this with the Braves last year. Best offensive baseball all year long. They take that, week-long break and crash and burn. Best offense in baseball. Doesn't do an awful lot. Gets outslugged by a Phillies team that was a little rested, but was on fire in the division series. Had a couple days off in the division series, the wild card series. Had a couple days off, picked up right where they left off. So yeah, it's a problem. Something needs to be done about it. I think having the wild card series, 3 games out, no matter what, no days off, that needs to happen. And ultimately that is what happens. But I think the bigger thing to me is, yeah, the week-long break is a problem. I think the days off during the division series, during the NLCS and ALCS, and during the World Series, for television purposes, is the problem. These guys go from city to city overnight all the time. And yet we're going to sit here in the playoffs and we're going to sit and give them 3 off days per week or 2 off days. Just let them play the way they normally play. The postseason is a completely different type of baseball than the regular season. And I hate that. And for the Braves, 100%. That was a problem last year in the Phillies series. And I would say even, you know, extending it out some, it's a problem when you clinch early. I would, you know, the way this is set up now, I want to win the division, but I'd like to win the division. If I'm a manager, hey, you know what? Let's do it with 4 or 5 games left in the season rather than 14 or 10. Or something like that. Because if you do, if that becomes the norm, then you're going to have to find a way to have simulated games that actually mean something. And they did this last year. Remember they had 2 open scrimmages or something during that week? And it's like, this is how we're staying fresh. And look, I get it. If you're the Braves, you got to do something. But that's the best that we can do. The answer is yes, that's the best that we can do. And that sucks. That should not be the case. We should not have to sit there and have open scrimmages to stay fresh. And I'm not talking about the Braves. I don't care who it is. It's any team. That's not the reward you should receive. Yeah, you should have a series off, but you should not have to basically cool everything down and then give your opponent the chance to have the same kind of schedule that you have. The Braves should have gone into that Phillies series and had the opportunity to play 4 games in 4 days, 5 games in 5 days. Let them travel the way they normally travel, because days off are the equalizer. The Braves had a full week off, and then the Phillies had the days off built in too. So yeah, it's not an advantage, Brad, winning the division. Of course it is. But it absolutely has gotten the players out of routine, hurt their production, and I think was a big reason why the Braves suffered that disaster in Philadelphia, or against Philadelphia, I should say, last season. Not going to neglect Jonesy, because you did ask me this question. We already answered it last segment, but should schedule makers take into consideration simple geography? Yes, they should. It is ridiculous that we have to deal with something like this, but here we are. But the Braves are coming home. That's exciting. The Braves are coming home. That will happen Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I can't wait for the home opener. And one thing I would love for you guys, either on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, or on the hotline, before Friday's show. So anytime between now and Thursday night when we record, call the hotline, 770-810-5297. 770-810-5297. I want to know, what is your opening day tradition? Whether you go to the game, whether you watch on TV and you're not in Braves country, what do you do on opening day? To me, I wake up, I have a cup of coffee, and I go through YouTube videos of my favorite moments in Braves history. From winning the division in 91, Bob Horner's 4 home run game, when Sid slid, the catch, all of them, especially the 2021 World Series. There's a great video on YouTube, the 25 top moments of the Braves postseason in 2021. I watched that about 7 times, not going to lie. But all of them. Eric Hinsky home run back in 2010, even though the disaster that ensued the next inning, that was an awesome moment. Jay Hayes home run, all of them. I watch every single Braves YouTube video I can find for about an hour. And man, it gets me pumped. It gets me pumped for the home opener, because I've been to essentially every home opener except for the COVID one, obviously, since I can remember. What's your tradition? What do you do? 770-810-5297. We can't neglect the Mets. They're off to a terrible start. I don't know if you guys know that Barstool guy that plays the part of the jaded Mets fan. I think his name's Frank. He's already thrown in the towel for the season. And it got me thinking, man, I wish the Mets were halfway decent, because it's fun when they think they have a chance and then crash and burn, rather than now where they don't win any baseball games and their fans have already thrown in the towel. That's neither here nor there, but it's always fun to make fun of the Mets because they're the Mets. Enjoy the next couple of days, everybody. We'll talk to you Friday morning, opening day coming up around the corner. This has been the Braves Report, presented by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, presented by Kroger, here on AJC.com.
When you're looking for leading cardiac treatment, look to Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with 5 emergency cardiac care centers, so we're here when you need us most. We lead with more than 55 locations in Georgia. That means we're always in the heart of your neighborhood. We lead with clarity, because clear direction is better when it comes to understanding every step of your treatment. Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with heart.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.